Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, November the 3rd, where it feels like November. It was in the high 40s when we woke up today, and it's been chilly and rainy and, you know, the kind of day that you realize that you got to, you know, you got to go in your closet and dig out some of the warmer clothes. You know, no more shorts, long pants from now on. You got to wear socks when you go outside because it's pretty chilly now. And so, I mean, I guess it's November. We're in November, and that's not a bad thing. I always enjoy, you know, when we go from these hot summers, I always love, you know, the transition to the autumn and the colder temperatures. It makes me feel good, because the truth is that these summers, after 3 or 4 months, they do wear you out a little bit. You know, you need a relief, and days like this are the kind of relief that I'm talking about. Well, there was a big election last night here in the United States. Big election in Virginia, New Jersey, and quite a few other places. They had local elections, and I think overall, it was not a good night for the Democrats. I mean, I cannot think of a Democrat who is happy today with what happened. I mean, let's go to Virginia, for example. Virginia, that state was turned around 100%. The Republicans will now have a majority in the legislature. They obviously have a governor. And there's a movement in Virginia of these mothers who basically got up and went to the school board meetings and demanded that they be listened to and respected. And when they were not listened to, when they were not respected, they formed a movement. I mean, one heck of a movement that produced what we saw yesterday. I mean, it was just remarkable how these parents organized. And you got to give the credit to the mothers. I mean, it was the mothers who were forming these committees and getting people out to vote. It was just an amazing performance. And when you look at some of the reasons why they were able to flip the state, and it was a combination of Youngkin did extremely well. I mean, he really got the vote out in the suburbs and in the southern part of the state, which is more Republican, the more rural areas. Those are very Republican areas. Well, he got the vote out. Nobody stayed home. And then in the more blue areas, he was able to keep McAuliffe from having the kinds of numbers that Biden had in 2020 or Clinton had in 2016. So he was able to get more Republicans to turn out to vote, and he was able to get better percentages in the blue counties. And when you have that combination, the result is that you're going to win the election. Now, I think what we saw in Virginia, this movement of the parents, I think this is here to stay. I think this is going to go to other places. Now, it may not be as prominent as it was in Virginia, because in Virginia, it was the issue. It was the number one issue. But I think you're seeing in other school boards, and I think you're seeing in the movement on the part of many states, including Virginia, the movement toward choice, school choice. And I think that that's a direct consequence of these mothers in Virginia. So, you know, a few days ago, I wrote a post basically saying, don't mess with the lioness and her cubs. Well, if you do, she's going to have the last word, as I think we've seen in Virginia. I mean, just a tremendous showing there by the Republicans, and some interesting coalitions in Virginia too that I think we saw. For example, Virginia now has a lieutenant governor who's an African-American lady, very talented lady. I had a chance to listen to her speech. I mean, very talented lady. Then you have a Hispanic attorney general who was just elected, Cuban-American who was just elected. So that's an interesting coalition. There you have more blacks, more Hispanics. I saw that Hispanics had voted for Youngkin like 54%. That's a great number. That's a fantastic number. The Democrats cannot compete if Hispanics get numbers like that or vote Republican with numbers like that. So it was just an overall wonderful night. I also think one last thing about Youngkin, the governor-elect, I would keep an eye on this guy because I can see in 2024 where he could be one of the leading choices for the vice presidency on the Republican ticket, particularly since a governor in Virginia cannot run for re-election. So they cannot run for re-election. So let's say a couple of years from now, you know, he is, let's say, in his last year as governor of Virginia, and the Republican nominee calls him on the phone and says, "Hey, I'd like you to be on the ticket." I tell you, I think he would be a wonderful addition to the ticket. So keep an eye on him as a potential vice presidential choice. Look, there are many others. He's not the only one. Just like there's more than Trump as far as being the top candidate. But the Republicans have a real collection of people here who I think would be very good, very effective to putting together a ticket in 2024. So clearly in Virginia, we had the parents saying, "We're not going to put up with this anymore." And they didn't. They were able to flip the state in a very dramatic fashion. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about New Jersey, the other big surprise of the night. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, talking a little bit about these elections that we had last night. Now, New Jersey, that to me was the real shocker of the night. Now, we just learned a few minutes ago that they have officially declared Governor Murphy the winner, so he was reelected. The final number was like 50 versus 49. 50 point something versus 49 point something. So that's pretty close. It came down to like 19,000 votes. But that was a shocker because I don't know of anybody who saw that coming. I mean, I mentioned on Tuesday when I did my video, I mentioned that, you know, I would not be surprised if there's a surprise in New Jersey. But I had no idea that it was going to be anywhere like this. I thought, well, maybe he'll bring it down to 5 points or 6 points. But this was a very close election. And if you're a Democrat, I think this is the one that you really have to worry about because it is elections like New Jersey, like what we just saw in New Jersey. This is the kind of election that tells you that there's a wave coming. Virginia, I think we kind of knew that it was going to be very competitive and that there was going to be a wave related to that education issue. But in New Jersey, there wasn't anything like that. Nobody was paying attention to it. And then out of nowhere, you've got this election decided by 1 point in New Jersey. What that tells me is that there's something happening with the electorate and that the electorate, and that could very well turn out to be the wave of 2022. It's probably a little early to jump to that conclusion, but certainly all the indications are there that it could happen. Now, it was also a bad night for the Democrats in lots of other local races. In Seattle, a Republican was elected. In Aurora, Colorado, one of these woke candidates was defeated. In lots of other places, the Republicans did fairly well. But obviously, those were local races, and they're not going to get the attention of a state race, particularly what happened in Virginia. But I mean, overall, it was a bad night for the woke. That's all I can tell you. If you were running as a woke last night, you didn't do well. And look at Minneapolis. Minneapolis, I think, was a great indication that people want the police in their neighborhoods. They want police. They all this crap about defunding the police, I think that's another thing that died in this election last night. I mean, I think defunding the police any Democrat even talking like that, I believe, is going to be thrown out of office fairly easily. So I think the question now for many of us is, will the Democrats, what lesson are they going to learn from all of this? Now, I don't know what the party leadership is going to learn from this, because they may be so invested in their ideology that they may just say, no, we're going to go down with the ship. And that may happen. But I think if you're a Democrat running for reelection in a competitive district, some, you know, between the coast, between the Pacific and the Atlantic coast, you know, all of those districts in the middle, many of them are suburban, some of them are rural. If you're a Democrat running in one of those districts, and you're a Democrat who was elected by 3 to 5 points the last time around, you've got to be in total panic today. I mean, just total, complete panic. And I expect a lot of those Democrats to simply say, you know what? I'm done with Pelosi. I'm done with Biden. And I'm just going to go out to protect myself from this point forward. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to work at getting reelected. And getting reelected is going to be my focus. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get reelected, even if that means voting against my party leadership. So that's why I think they may have a problem passing a lot of legislation. I think that's why they may have a problem getting anything done. Because anything that is controversial, I just don't think they'll have the votes. There's just simply too many Democrats who are not going to vote for stuff that they know is going to come back to bite them in 2022. Again, any Democrat elected the last time around, anywhere from 3 to 5 points, that Democrat is in trouble, because that's not enough votes to contain what I believe will be the big wave of 2022, the Republican wave. And even though it's too early to conclude that, I do think that what happened in New Jersey is an indication that such a wave could be coming. And what does that mean for Democrats in the House? It probably means they could lose anywhere from 30 to 50 seats. 30 to 50 seats. That's the kind of wave that we're talking about. The Senate, too, obviously. The Senate, it's a little bit more difficult to calculate, but the Senate could also easily go to the Republicans. So bad day, just an absolutely bad day for the Democrats. There's nothing good about these elections that the Democrats can point to. There's just nothing in these election results that the Democrats can point to. I mean, it was just a very bad night, to say the least. And, you know, I saw President Biden coming out of that plane last night, I guess, or early morning from Europe. You know, he's coming home from talking about climate change. And, I mean, look, I'm sorry. I'm not saying climate change is not important. But right now, I don't know anybody talking about climate change. What they're talking about is this economy and the price of oil. And unfortunately, President Biden doesn't have an answer for that. Well, on this day in history, we're going to look back to a couple of happier days for the Democrats. 1948, this was the day that President Harry Truman, defeated Governor Dewey of New York. And that's that famous picture that we've all seen. You know, Dewey beats Truman, and that's because in the evening, it looked like Truman was going to be defeated, but then at the last minute, he was able to get all those votes and win the election. So 1948, Truman beats Dewey, not Dewey beats Truman, as the headline said. 1964, LBJ, President Lyndon Johnson, defeated Barry Goldwater, one of the biggest landslides ever, and that was in 1964. You know, that was our first year in the United States. That was my first election in the United States. Obviously, I couldn't vote, but that was my first election in the United States. And on this day in 1957, this is one of those stories that I always enjoy talking about. The Soviet Union put a dog in space. It was a little husky. Her name was Laika, and they put her in space. They wanted to test, they wanted to do that, obviously, before they put humans in space. And poor little Laika got burned up because something went wrong with the batteries, and she was killed in the capsule. But Laika went up to space on this day in 1957. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time.